All right, so let's move on to the second segment and talk about Convoy Week. You know, we introduced this concept a couple of years ago at the OGI Forum. Maybe it was the last one we had in person. Convoy is what we use as an acronym for contracting of varieties for other than yield. Of course, yield is a big part of things, but let's contract them for something else besides yield. In this case, we're talking about germplasm, two different trait packages for germplasm. We're talking about a hard red spring-like hard red winter wheat. Yes, this wheat would grade as a hard red winter, but it has functionality that's almost, in some cases, like hard red spring, and in some cases exceeds hard red spring, like Mike Schulte mentioned earlier. And then we have a soft red winter wheat, grade soft, but it functions or it serves as a harder winter wheat in the bakery. And why would we do that? Let's get to that in just a little bit. I'll start out with this one. I want to put in a plug for my counterpart at K-State. He's working on Southern Plains Durum wheat. This is probably going to be the same kind of marketing system involved, and I'll just put a plug in for him. Maybe we can get that Durum wheat down here in Oklahoma. We're not working on it. And so any Durum wheat that's grown in the Southern Great Plains, it's probably going to come from his program. And I would fully support it. And then on the horizon, I won't mention it today beyond this, but we're looking at some Health Plus wheat where we change the antioxidants or the antioxidant levels in regular hard-red winter wheat. We're enhancing the fiber content. That's very doable. We're looking at enzyme-targeted wheat. You know, you see on bread labels, if you look at the label on your next loaf of bread, you'll see enzymes as one of the ingredients. Well, they don't tell you what the enzymes are, but enzymes are becoming a very important part of the bread production process. They're being used in place of more chemical-sounding names like DATE-M, which we call it a dough conditioner. So we're looking at some of these enzymes, and then K-State is also looking at, when I say high protein, I mean higher than Butler's Gull, which is a 1.5 point difference from the average of hard red winter wheat. This would be 2 to 3 to 4% percentage units higher for hard red winter. That's going to be another game changer. All right, so what about this harder spring-like hard red winter wheat? I've talked about it in the wheat review, maybe the past two summers. We can talk a little bit more definitively now. We have pretty much made a decision. We need to put this in the marketplace somehow. Why would we do it? Well, there's more vital wheat gluten used than ever before. And it's not just whole wheat bread product driven. Vital wheat gluten is used in white wheat, just regular good old white bread, as a strengthener. Do we really have to rely on vital wheat gluten? Why can't we rely on the endogenous gluten that's present in our varieties if that gluten is of sufficient quality? We can actually breed a wheat with the gluten strength that would come from a vital wheat gluten additive, or maybe from a hard red spring that would suffice for vital wheat gluten. That's very possible. We've done it. So this allows to have less dependency on the dough conditioners. With clean label, those conditioners are not being used near as much, and they're going to be fast approaching extinction over time, I think, and not that distant future. Commodity hard red winter wheat, it's not so much the fact that we're losing strength in our hard red winter wheat base. I've done that research. I've published it. I don't think we're losing so much, but we sure aren't gaining. And so there might be gains in certain varieties, but there are losses in others, and it's averaging out to, well, it's just no gain. We're just not moving the needle when it comes to gluten strength, gluten quality in our hard red winter wheat crop. We're also thinking about producing natural ingredients versus natural raw materials. So the natural raw material, of course, is germplasm. The natural ingredient is the gluten is coming from this germplasm. Well, just to kind of keep our perspective, We do have a legacy in this program of producing good gluten strength. And these are the varieties I would consider to have the best gluten strength out there. But, you know, the question remains, can we raise that bar? I mean, can we really go beyond Baker's Ann, which is probably the top of that list in terms of gluten strength and dough quality? Well, yes, we can. And Colorado State has already proven this in their hard white wheat with Snowmass. And so what we're doing is basically taking that idea and spreading it across our germplasm in the hard-red winter wheat. So it's utilizing a certain glutenin being a big part of gluten. And that particular glutenin has a name, and it's just a number. B actually refers to the genome it comes from. 7 is just an arbitrary number. And OE means that this glutenin is overexpressed in the kernel of wheat. There's another glutenin that comes along with it, but it's this one, that one, that really makes the difference. So we put this into a modified Gallagher, not a genetically modified, but a different Gallagher background, but very similar to Gallagher, and then some other backgrounds. So the ones we're looking at right now, it's the same ones I talked about last summer. The data that we've looked at since then told us to keep going. You know, this is good material in the field and in the bakery. So this is a picture of, from the wheat quality council strips at Lahoma in 2021. See, this is Gallagher on the left. And then Snowmass was the donor of the BX7OE trait put into Gallagher. This is 3 shots now of Gallagher, not just 2. Very unusual kind of breeding strategy. But we wanted to keep as much Gallagher as possible and minimize the amount of Snowmass genetics that goes into these candidate lines, but keep that BX7OE genetics. And we did some pretty long names there. We won't worry too much about that. They're down here as well. This is a little bit different background over here. This is not Gallagher. It's an experimental line that features a lot of different genetics from our program. I think one that comes to mind first would be Endurance or Endurance Derivative. These 3 lines are what we're still looking at for release. And those are the percentage increases in yield for those BX7OE derivatives relative to Gallagher last year. Since 2018, those numbers are down a little bit when you average across all environments. So we're still about the same level of yield as Gallagher here, maybe 3% for this 8-29 and about 5 or 6% yield advantage for the 6-8. And by the way, these are all yields with no fungicide. So just no help at all. Those are straight yields compared to Gallagher. What about their quality? This is just phenomenal. I hesitate to use Big Max. I hesitate to present anything about Big Max, but it kind of gives us a floor on quality. You know, if you get below Big Max, you don't need to be going there. That's another kind of uncharted territory. We don't want to be there. So I'm showing some very common quality parameters. This data was produced by the Wheat Marketing Center from samples we gave to them across the state. And so we use Big Max. We were trying to show, well, how much of these experimental lines with the BX7OE trait, how much of these would it take to fix Big Max? In other words, make Big Max acceptable to the baking industry. Well, I won't show you that data, but I'll just tell you, it only takes about 10 to 20%. You throw in 10 to 20% of the grain from these lines with 80% of Big Max, and you pretty much have a really good Smith's Gold type quality. That's all it took. So water absorption is really big. You know, we want a dough, a flour that absorbs water. And this is Fruinograph's absorption. 60% is what we'd like to see. A lot of times we don't. Actually, Big Max is not that bad because Big Max is above average in protein. And that drives the absorption up sometimes, but a lot of times. In this case, no doubt. 59.5 close to 60, that's good. But the peak time on Fruinograph, that's okay, but stability, Just 9 minutes. It can't be worse than that. 9 minutes is in some years will be acceptable, but it still is the bottom. These are values associated with a test called Albiograph. Measures the stretchability of the dough, but also the resistance of the dough. So this number refers more to resistance. This number refers more to stretching. They often go in opposite directions. And with Big Macs, no strength, but very good extensibility. So you could make a loaf of bread out of Big Macs with a little bit of help. Don't quote me on that. All right, Gallagher. 60%, this Gallagher is known for good absorption. Peak time, it hits that peak quickly, which is okay, as long as it doesn't break down too quick, and that stability time. In other words, how long that dough can be used in a bread production context. Very good, 16 minutes. And these numbers are just right in balance. Good strength and good extensibility or stretching. Here are the BX70s. We expect a lot of strength out of these. So let's look. We've got the good absorption, even better than what we expected. Peak times, extremely long, because these are very strong doughs. This would be, well, I'll get to that in just a second. Stability. Look at the stability time for 8-20, 74 minutes. That's 14 minutes longer than an hour. We could all go eat lunch, a very extended lunch, while this thing is mixing. And it wouldn't break down. 74 minutes past the peak. The tenacity, the resistance is just off the chart, which means extensibility is going to be low. That's the Gallagher background. This is the OK10130 background. Water absorption good. Again, a peak time pretty high, pretty long. A stability time about of an hour. That's good. That is really good. And then these numbers are more in balance. So it's very possible that this 6-8 line could be used as a standalone flour. We know that, and we may market it that way. This one is more to be used as an additive. This is more like an ingredient, okay? Ingredient here, flour here, but also ingredient possibility. These numbers, this kind of absorption, that's hardwood spring territory. Those numbers, that is, I can move this out of the way. Canadian Western Extra Strong. That is the strongest wheat in Canada. And the Wheat Marketing Center reminded me these numbers aren't even seen in a CWES crop. So it's just phenomenal that we've been able to get this. I think, yes, the BX70E is doing a lot of this, but I think these backgrounds, and we tried others, you're not seeing them because we're not going to commercialize them. Those backgrounds really worked with that trait. So this was just a conclusion offered by the Wheat Marketing Center. Thanks to the Oklahoma Wheat Commission for supporting this research. It really helps validate what we collect here on campus. We need this kind of work to drive this message all the way into the market. And to get to the market, we're probably going to have to use a little bit different way of getting there. And in fact, it's what? Somewhere around noon right now. In a couple hours, we've got to meet with Andrew Holzer, who runs this company called Farm Strategy. He's in Kansas, and he does this kind of work. He's a farmer, for one thing, but he's also very familiar with supply chains of wheat, and he knows how to work with those supply chains. And what he does is he aligns the production practices of us, the grower, with the end-use needs of grain users. That takes a lot of coordination. I can't even begin to understand how he does it. And I hope this afternoon I'm going to have a better idea of how that happens. But he basically executes the supply chain. So we're keeping this wheat from these varieties out of the commodity market and straight through a supply chain that is regulated from the seed producer all the way in to the baker and to the grocery store shelf, for that matter. So relative to these candidates, he will work with specific grain users. I can't say what they are, not yet, but he knows who they are. I think I know who they are. And these users can confirm the value associated with this dough strain. And I hope he can create a marketing plan to market outside these commodity, the usual commodity specs. What plan he comes up with will dictate just what kind of release strategy we take. You know, if this wasn't BX7OE that we're talking about, I would probably just go with that that 6-8 line. But that 6-8 line is probably not going to be enough to satisfy the market demand for this kind of quality. So it's entirely possible we go with the release of all three. I'm not saying we will, we need to know what kind of demand there's going to be. And then finally, a softer winter wheat that is more harder winter, that is like harder winter in terms of its functionality. This didn't just drop out of the sky. I've been working on this for quite a bit. We've already had germplasm that satisfied this criterion. What we were looking at first was perhaps this kind of functionality would serve well in a cracker market. And I knew that Oklahoma wheat can feed into those cracker production facilities, perhaps through a milling facility in Ark City, but others as well. But I've come to realize that there's probably a little bit more value to that, not just in a cracker flour. So let me get into that. So here's the experimental line number. The genetics is Gertsen and KSU. It was Art Klatt that just made this cross, but the cross produced the functionality that we were looking for. So it's soft on the flour, hard on the competition. We're getting a 16% yield bump over Gallagher statewide, and this is data that goes back to 2015 or 16, one of those years, a long ways back. Same protein as Gallagher, 12%, averaged over the long term. Being a softer kernel, we do have a problem with getting the test weight up. And yes, we're 1.5 pounds lower than Gallagher, which is right where OK Corral is on the long-term average. And it just happens to have exceptional low nitrogen tolerance that I would have never known without having the collaboration with Dr. Arnall at TIP. So we know we had the desirable softer winter wheat quality per se, but again, it's not, I don't know that we really need to be marketing a soft red winter wheat commodity wheat. I just don't know if that's really going to be or have the draw that we need to get this kind of genetics, as they say in the theater business, across the lights. I mean, really needs to go. There is a value proposition that I've been told by Andrew at Farm Strategy in value and vital wheat gluten processing of this kind of wheat. With a soft wheat, but a high protein, you can mill that soft wheat and not damage the gluten. The same damage that would have, or damage that would occur with a hard wheat. So having that soft wheat, soft endosperm with that kind of gluten strength does present a value proposition that really needs to be taken advantage of. This is what it looks like in the field. Over here, we actually had two candidates competing against each other until a couple of years ago. We were looking at compared to a Pioneer line, a pretty darn good one, 25R74. Agronomically, we really compete well. So just to wrap that up, yeah, you're probably going to be hearing some release talk. I don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but the proposals are being developed for all that genetics. But again, like we've been saying all day, stay tuned, because there's something I think to be tuned into.